Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I know that, okay? Hold on for a minute. We're back. 1-800-449-8686. I just fielded one of the most bizarre phone calls that I have ever fielded in the history of doing a talk radio program. One of my callers, who is a listener of our show, called in to tell me that he had seen the show... Hold on for a minute. I bet you that's my guys. Hold on for a minute. Hey, guys. Yes, you do. You know, I'm on the air right now. No, it's okay. You go down to Haskell. You don't get off on Haskell. No. You keep going. Do not get off on Haskell. Just keep driving, Nick. Keep driving to the 405 and get off on Sepulveda. And then hang a left on Ventura Boulevard. You get off on Ventura Boulevard. As a matter of fact, here's Craig. Hold on for a minute. Here's Craig, all right? Nick, here's Craig. That's my son. Sorry. Now, where was I? Okay. I fielded a phone call from a listener who basically said this. Last night's episode of Friends, on the episode, Rachel's baby was born dead. Joey cut his own penis off with a skill saw. Ross used a belt sander on his nipples, and one of the actresses tore into her own face with needles? I mean, is it possible, is it at all possible, sir, that you had the wrong show?
No, it was Friends, Mr. Hendry, I swear. Look, I am a father, and I know what you mean. I know that you have kids, too.
Yes, I have four.
All right. I've got a baby girl. And I can tell you right now, sir, I've been around. I'm a musician. Our band is called Dark Horse. We play at Mr. Pooh's like two times Friday and Saturday night. We do two sets Friday, Saturday night.
Okay.
I'm watching this show last night. Chandler, who I don't know if you know who he is.
One of the characters.
Pees on Monica.
Oh, bull crap.
I swear to God, man. That's why I said. That's why I called up. I mean, he pees on her, and she's all laying there digging it and everything.
Come on, man!
I swear to God, man!
Let me take a phone call here. 1-800-449-8686. Sharon, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry
Show. Hi there. Yeah, I just wanted to say that that would have been a great episode if this had been their last season. Considering the fact that they're coming back next year, that's not quite how the show went.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, maybe you saw... Huh?
Well, I don't know what it is you're talking about, because I'm watching the same show you're watching.
No, the baby was born, they named her Emma.
Was there any self-mutilation going on?
Not at all.
The only
out-of-control thing was Chandler and Monica trying to find a place to have sex somewhere in the hospital. That was pretty much the only out-of-control thing I saw. But, really, like I said, though, it would have made for a great,
All right, here is Jessica.
Yeah. I think that this guy just wants attention, is what I think. Because that's not how it went at all.
Wait a minute, ma'am.
The baby was born a girl. Chandler and Monica, like the ladies that just called said, they were trying to have sex. Joey was running around doing...
Joey mutilated himself.
No, he didn't. He did not. He set Phoebe up with a guy in the hospital. You just want attention.
No, I don't want attention. I didn't give nobody my last name.
Then why don't you go ahead and try and call half of America and find out that that's how it went?
If
you can prove to me that that's how it went, I'll send you $500.
My band plays two gigs at Mr. Pooh's, okay? So we're in the middle of rehearsing.
Oh, so this is a publicity call. I see. Okay.
Oh, yeah, you're so smart. No, it's not a publicity call. No, you don't see. I'm calling up because I happen to be a father, too, just like Mr. Hendry, and I wanted to know. You didn't see Monica get peed on or anything like that?
Yeah, that's what I saw, watching it with my three daughters. That's what I saw. You're right.
Okay, so now you're being sarcastic.
You think?
Well, what am I looking at then, man? That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. You know, you probably had two people.
That's not
how it happened.
It's
really sad that people have to call in and talk about babies being born dead.
Well, that's what I seen on the TV last night on the Friends show.
Yeah, that's
why don't you call up NCB and find out from them.
Okay, why don't you have Phil and his people call him and find out?
Call up NBC. Yeah, that'll be great. I'm going to call NBC and say, hi, was Rachel's baby born dead last night?
What?
So in other words, Mr. Henry, you want to take her word for it. You won't take my word.
It's not that I'm going to take anybody's word. I've had two callers now say this is bullcrap.
And you'll have a lot more call in and say it, too, if there's any sort of dignified
people. What
about people,
so there's no body in a shopping cart?
I mean, it's funny if you call up and talk about that, but it's not when you talk about dead babies and people being mutilated by Botox needles. It's just sick, dude. It's just sick.
What about the one time that guy was weighing his turds?
Oh, come on.
Don't even give him the time on your show. He's just a piece of crap.
I'm a piece of crap? My band, Dark Horse, plays...
All right, how many
Horse
times...
plays at Mr. Pooh's.
Right.
Yeah, we know. We
yeah.
got it.
Yeah, two sets, Friday and Saturday night.
Okay, so great. So you got the plug for your band.
I'm not trying to plug my band.
Bull crap. You
yeah.
come on my show...
I just feel gypped, and I think a lot of people feel gypped.
I got two people saying this stuff wasn't on that show last night. Now, what show were you watching?
I'm watching Friends.
I don't think you were watching Friends. I think you were watching TV. I don't think you guys practice enough. I think you need to practice a little bit more.
I think so, too. And you need to practice kind of straight next time, too.
Okay, so in other words, you're the one who make your little kids sit and watch a guy weigh a turd, not me.
Well, listen, Phil,
what
it was
the?
Great
yeah,
being
really nice
on
talking
show.
To you. Thank you, Jessica.
But I've got to go to work
yeah,
now.
Talk about me like I'm not here. That's great.
Yeah, well, that's what's going on, man.
Okay, if I seen...
Did you see this on TV or did you not?
Yes, I did.
Did it say Friends at the beginning?
What?
Did it say Friends at the beginning?
The beginning of the show?
Yes.
All I know is the baby was born dead on account of the fact Ross socked Rachel in the gut right at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, ha ha! That's a real comedy show there, man. Was this show that you saw, did it say Friends?
I'm not clear on that.
Did it maybe say CSI?
It's on Thursday night on must-see TV, NBC TV, which I never not watch.
Which you never not watch.
I always watch it. And it's always comedies.
Well, there's another show that was on last night called CSI.
What's that about?
What's that about? I bet you they had dead babies.
You mean is that another comedy?
Yeah, that's what it is, man. It's a comedy. Only it's a comedy that features dead babies. Look, dude.
Okay, so
it was CSI probably that we were watching or something with Botox needles and guys self-mutilating. Do you know what that show's about?
CSI?
Yeah.
Is that the one with Cloris Leachman?
Yeah, right. That's it. Cloris Leachman. It's a show about crime scene investigators.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Craig Taylor just told me that if they had an episode of Friends like that, he'd watch it. Okay, anyway. God. You know, the more success you get in this world, the more people want to see you just self-mutilate. Isn't that right? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. And thanks very much to Jeff Dowder from the band Dark Horse for calling up and plugging his band 800 times while completely misrepresenting last night's episode of Friends, Rachel's Baby's Born Dead. And what's his ass? Who? Ross took a belt sander to his... a belt sander to his nipples. Unbelievable. My kids are the best at knowing what TV shows are going to hit. Did you see the latest? I don't know if you gave that to me, Janice, or not, but that 80s show is off the air. Now... When that show first came on, I asked the four kids, what do you think of that show? They all, to a person, it sucks. Andy Richter controls the universe. They love it. And sure enough, it got renewed. That 70s show, they dig it. It got renewed. Titus, they love it. It got canceled. Oh, excuse me. Wait till I tell them Titus got canceled. They used to like Titus. They don't watch it anymore. But Titus, it's a crazy thing, man, how these shows just come and go. And, you know, one minute it's the hottest thing going. I mean, you are the toast of the town. You are at every cocktail party. People think you're a genius. They want you to write another show. And the next thing you know, the plug's been pulled. Remember Dharma and Greg when that was the big thing? Man, that thing is in the toilet now. I actually got to know the people that produced that show. I partied at their house. Now I wouldn't take a phone call from them. I'm kidding. I'm joking. And I'll tell you something, and I'm not going to tell you which one. I was offered a job. Now, I don't want this to sound like this is just kind of gives you an idea of how this whole television thing works, right? Because as we grow through this process together, you and me, you the listener, me the me, and you guys know that I got this NBC thing that I'm supposed to write. As we go through this process together, you're going to know more and more about it, just because it's part of my life and I'm going to be living a little bit of it on the radio. And so I guess about a month or so ago, I got a call from a guy who's a writer and a producer, and he wanted me to be on this show that he was writing. He wanted me to narrate. And I said, no, I don't want to do it. You know, well, guess what? The show got picked up. It's going to be on the schedule. I ain't going to tell you which network, but it starts with a, I'm not going to say. Anyway, so, you know, you win some, you lose some. But I didn't want to take that gig anyway because I want to do that other thing and I got to do this. My life is full, man. I don't need anything more. I don't need no more work. Especially with a guy with this grammar that I got, forget it. But it's a nutty thing. Now, check it out. This isn't in the world of TV. By the way, that 80s show is going to end up like The Honeymooners. It's going to be like in syndication for decades, if not centuries. Nice going. Way to go. Way to cancel it, man. That thing's going into independent syndication, and Fox won't see nickel one, depending, of course, on the deal that they signed, which I'm sure they got it locked up forever anyway. So what do they care? These guys, there's no such thing as a studio not having interest in a show anymore. They'll have interest in that show as long as it's around. It could be sitting on a shelf. There's going to be a guy collecting nickels on that. So which show got canceled do you think is going to go on to become the next Star Trek? Huh? Other than that 80s show, you got it, Dharma and Greg. Now, I'm kidding. I don't know. Honest to God, I don't know. In the movie world, what's the next big one? Daredevil. As Spider-Man continues to spin a web of gold at the box office, Ben Affleck has stepped into the costume of the next Manhattan-based Marvel Comics superhero to hit the big screen. Daredevil, the man who can neither see nor fear. Oh, so he's blind? The struggle with the costume is staying faithful to the comic and at the same time not making it look ridiculous, said director Mark Steven Johnson, now shooting the film for 2003 release. We knew we weren't going to do red tights. The filmmakers went with a sculpted leather bodysuit hybrid, combining a partially form-fitting costume like Spider-Man with the molded look of Batman. And fans will be taking notes. Daredevil is not as well-known as Spider-Man, but his fans are devout. Johnson says, created by Stan Lee and Bill Everett, the character was reworked by Frank Miller in the 80s, and more recently by Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back creator Kevin Smith. He's always been my favorite superhero since I was a kid, Johnson says. He was literally the one I would go wait for at the drugstore in Hastings, Minnesota, when they would get the shipments in. Daredevil's daytime alter ego is lawyer Matt Murdock, who becomes a vigilante by night. Though he lacks sight, his other senses are hyper-acute. He'll know if you have a gun in your pocket because he can smell the gunpowder, Johnson says. He knows if you're lying because he hears your heartbeat. And while Spider-Man is more of a wish fulfillment, gee, what would it be like to be a superhero? Ours is more about the repercussions. Unlike Batman, Daredevil doesn't go back into his Batcave. He goes back to his apartment in Hell's Kitchen and pops pain pills. Daredevil, you got it, is the first superhero drug dealer. Played by Ben Affleck, it'll be a... Daredevil will battle two villains in the movie, wealthy businessman and mob godfather Kingpin, played by Green Mile's Michael Clark Duncan, and the assassin Bullseye, Colin Farrell of Heart's War. Yeah, I know who he is. Who? That's great. Whose deadly, forceful aim turns pencils, paper clips, and anything he can get his hands on into fatal weapons. Cool. And he will also have to dodge Elektra, alias Jennifer Garner, another vigilante who tries to kill Daredevil by night but dates Matt Murdock by day. Sure to be the death of Ben Affleck's career, this movie... I'm just adding that last part. So what'll be the next Star Trek? You think it'll be X-Files? I don't think so. I think X-Files... I think it's a stiff. I don't think that'll go anywhere. Oh, you mean it was a hit? No, I'm sorry. Yeah, X-Files will go into syndication for months and months, years and years, weeks and weeks, days and days, whatever. Alex, would you watch X-Files in syndication, even though you've seen it 18 million times? What's the movie, my stepson Alex is here. What movie have you seen the most, man? Dumb and Dumber? I think you've seen that about 78 times, haven't you? Jesus, these guys with Dumb and Dumber. They saw it 1,200 times, and I said, well, you want to go buy a movie? Sure, what do you want? Dumb and Dumber. What is it? Have you not seen it enough? What, the nuanced acting in that thing is, there's scenes that just, they continue to just layers peel away. So we're going to go to the Avenger game tonight. We're going to go see the LA Avengers. This is indoor football, and it better be good. I'm telling you right now, it better be good. I put out for season tickets. We're going down. I hear all about indoor football is the bomb. I know a lot of you guys listen to me out there. You got indoor football teams in your town, arena football, whatever the hell you want to call it. This will be the second arena football team that LA's had. The first one stiffed and stunk it out. This one, I don't know what they're doing. I think their attendance is around 9,000. So we're going to go, we're going to sit, we're going to watch, and it better be exciting. They better score 150 points in this game, and we better win by 1 point in triple overtime. And the beer better be free. Or we'll just see about whether we're ever going to have another football team in this town. Let me tell you what. And if my seat's right behind that big pole, someone dies slow. What big pole? What are you talking about, yourself? By the way, Alex, you're driving home tonight. I'm telling you, because if the beer is free, you're driving home tonight. No, I'm kidding. I'm a very responsible adult. I won't drink while kids are in the car. If they're asleep in the car, I'll do it. So that's what we're going to do tonight. I don't know. That arena football looks pretty good. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, we're so hard up for a ball club around here. It's sad. It's absolutely sad. And every day there's a new article that says, will L.A. get football? And here's a stadium design. And here's the latest big bright. Now we got a guy in town, this guy, Philip Anheuser, Schultze. I know what his name is. He's got bread, and he's going to pull it together, and he's going to build a stadium, and he's going to do this, and he's going to do that. But every year, there's some new guy that we just, let me tell you the honest-to-God truth. The National Football League, as well, everybody out there knows the answer to this question that I'm about to ask. How's the NFL doing without L.A.? Pretty good? You got it. The NFL doesn't need Los Angeles, and if the Chargers move up here, I will never watch another football game again, another NFL game again, if the San Diego Chargers move to this town. Cross my heart and hope to freaking self-mutilate. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you so much as lift that team out of San Diego, you bloodsuckers, where I admit the fans are really got their just like fingers three knuckles up the nose down there. But, they, you know, they're nice people, little farmer-like. But the San Diegans, they're good for a laugh. If you take that football team away from them and you move it up to this pit, as much as I love my hometown of L.A., I don't want the Chargers here. Not because I, you know, don't like the team. I really would rather like to be able to sleep at night, okay? I can't do that. By the way, Craig's father has season tickets to the Chargers. Now, let me just move on with my point. Does he really? I hope the Chargers move to L.A., and as sooner the better, because I'm telling you, they're fantastic. They got cool-looking helmets with those light bolts. They got that freak Flutie. No, he got traded. They got another guy down there now. Who's the guy? They got a good quarterback down there. What's his name? Come on. I don't know who he is. Who? What do you mean Danny White? Are you high? The quarterback of the San Diego Chargers. They got a new guy now. I forget his name. Anyway, keep him out of L.A., all right? Stay in San Diego. You guys can't want, you couldn't possibly want money that bad, all right? And if the San Diego fans don't want to build you a new stadium, just sit there and somehow try to make it by in the few pennies that you make. I do not want the San Diego Chargers in this town, and if they move to Los Angeles, I will make it a personal campaign. I will make it my personal mission to bag on them every day that has allowed me for the rest of my life on this planet. Who's the new quarterback? Angela Lansbury? On second thought, I think this is going to be great. Go Chargers.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, do that.
Hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. What?
You came on the air. You opened your big fat mouth. Now you got to raise the money.
I'm kidding about that, man, okay?
You said you'd pay any guy that greased Arafat $50 million. Let me ask you a question, okay?
I was kidding.
Seriously, let me ask you a question. Because a lot of people have been asking me.
What?
What are you, political all of a sudden?
Look, it just because...
No, sissy. I mean, you do a lot of funny bits. You do the character voices. Now, all of a sudden, look at you with all the, opinions about the Middle East. Whoa, we got to kill Arafat. You mean you give a crap?
Yeah, I give a crap.
Wait a minute. You do a comedy show. Now you're on the air with all of this. You know, ever since 9/11, you've been acting like you're that what's his ass?
Who?
That's the guy in New York.
Limbaugh?
Yeah, you've been acting, you know, giving out opinions and everything.
I got a lot of people feel strongly about that.
Yeah, a lot of people feel strongly about that. That's not why we hired you. Now go ahead and raise it.
Well, I don't know what I...
I told you.
Are you trying to tell me I'm going to have that nut come on and sing?
That nut? That nut helped you sell those tens of Beverly Hills bowling shirts. Now call her up. Call her up.
Chris, would you get Margaret Gray on the phone, please?
I don't know what it is with you, Phil. You open your big fat mouth, and then the next thing you think everybody's going to forget about it.
Margaret?
Yes, Phil.
I
already know. I've been listening, and I've been brushing up a couple of numbers. Lloyd's with me. Lloyd, darling?
Yes. Mr. Henry,
all right, hold on for a minute.
No, but I want to tell you.
Hold on for a minute.
That's all right, yes, it is. Lloyd's here, Phil. Lloyd's here. And he'll help me sing the song. And I think we can do something good. Right, Mr. Hall?
I think you can do some great good, because it'll liven up this rotten show of his.
Ike, are you honestly telling me that I'm going to sit here and do a radiothon to raise money to kill Arafat?
Yes! That was your big disc jockey morning show bit idea. Now follow through on it.
Phil, can I say something, Phil?
What?
I think, if not $50 million, I think we can raise a fair amount of money. Lloyd, what do you want?
I want to say, Mr. Henry, that I think you're very courageous. I think Arafat is a piece of filth. God, I hate him so deeply. And I'd like to tell you that I'm proud of you.
There you go, Phil. You're really locking up that upper 70 demo, aren't you? Really getting that 75-plus demo.
Look, I didn't mean...
You didn't mean? Well, you got it now. Now raise the money.
Phil, it's going to be good. It's all right, Phil.
All right. What are we doing?
Lloyd and I are going to sing a beautiful, beautiful song. You know this one, Lloyd?
I do. I was out at the karaoke.
Hold on. I'll do it. Phil, let's kill Arafat. Come on, everyone. Dial 1-800-449-8686. Lloyd?
Say you, say me, say it for us.
Oh, my Christ. Hold on.
What happened?
He's down.
The old man down?
Yeah, apparently. Is he all right?
Lloyd, come on.
Sing it again, okay?
Sorry, I lost my footing.
All right, Phil.
Say you...
Oh, not yet.
Not tell him not yet.
Not yet, hon. I'll lead it off, Phil. Lloyd, just lay down.
I can see up your skirt with a...
Hold on.
What are you doing now?
He's looking up my skirt, Phil, if you must know.
You told me to lay down. I could see all the way up your poop deck.
Give me the phone. Phil, I am very, very sorry.
Do you understand what's happening here? Do any of you understand what's happening here?
I understand. You opened your big mouth and said you could raise $50 million to give any guy that greased Arafat. Now we got to raise the money.
I was joking.
Bull crap. Go ahead, Margaret.
Darling, it's going to be all right, Phil.
Okay, fine.
Good God, don't be angry at me. It was not my idea. I called in to think I thought I could help.
I'm sorry, Margaret.
I'm going to sing a song. Phil, I used to sing professionally. Don't worry. We'll get the money.
I could look up your poop chart.
Would you get the phone away from him?
I got it. A lovely song. Let's kill Arafat. Let's call in with the money, ladies and gentlemen. Here it is. Say you, oh, say me. forever, always. I'm sorry, Phil. Could we start again? Hello?
I'm right here.
Well, I'm sorry. I had a late lunch.
Where's the old man?
Lloyd, all right. I need to start higher, Eddie. Is the piano player there?
It's a recording.
All right. I'm going to start a little higher because my natural range is a soprano.
Yeah, right.
Say you, say me. That's much better. Say it for all.
Stop.
What? I can see your taco.
Would you get him under control? What is so? You're a professional singer. Forget it, man. It ain't working. Yeah, hit that high note there, Margaret.
Phil, give me one more chance. This is for all of our guys on the front lines in Afghanistan and around the world, striking a blow for freedom. I'm going to blow you. I'm sorry. I want to strike a...
Okay, hold on for a minute.
What?
You got to watch what you're saying.
I'm terribly sorry.
Yeah.
Shut up. I said it. Say you say me. Oh, say it for always. Oh, that's the way it should be.
Man.
Say you say. Say it together, naturally. Can you believe an African-American wrote this film?
All right.
What?
Do you need to give the commentary?
All I said...
I know what you said. Can you believe an African-American wrote this, Phil?
Well, I mean, it's a very nice ballad.
Ever heard of Smokey Robinson?
Yes.
One of the greatest songwriters of all time. Need I go on?
Well, I didn't.
Just sing it.
I could see right up your poop.
All right. Get that guy. What do you want?
Let's stay with all, Phil.
Yeah.
You're out of control, man. Just do the number, okay? I want you to sing with her.
Wait a minute. I beg your pardon?
I said to sing with her. It'll be good, Phil. You watch.
It'll be good? What am I supposed to...
Just don't worry about it, Phil. You better sing, Henry. You're the guy who opened his big mouth. Say you, say me, say it for always. Give it a little panache, Phil. That's the way it should be. Now you.
Say you, say me.
Holy Jesus.
Say it together. Naturally.
Cut.
All right, well, I didn't ask to go on this thing, okay?
Well, it's really, I'm looking at your enchilada.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I'm told not one person has called in with any donation of any kind. Thank you. It's the Phil Henry Show.
One 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Tell you, I don't want to do it.
You're the guy that opened up his big mouth and said you'd pay $50 million to anybody that made Arafat a grease spot. Now it's your show. It's my dime, though, so I want to do it. Phil, it's going to be great.
Look, he's got you coming on here and singing what? rock?
I think we need to pick it up a little. Really something that's with it. And I'm much, much better with an up-tempo, very with it, very contemporary, because I was known during my singing career.
Margaret, I know that you had a very short career as an actress, and then you married Frank. When were you a singer?
Excuse me, but I was professional as a singer in the early 1970s. I sang backup for Meatloaf.
You didn't sing backup for Meatloaf.
Yes, I did on a couple of gigs in Vegas.
On his records?
No, I didn't say that, did I?
You were with him in Vegas.
For a couple of gigs, yes. But I'm much better filled with the with it contemporary songs.
All right, what's she going to sing?
What are you going to do, Margaret?
I want to do Superstition by Stevie Wonder. It was covered by Jeff Beck. Very with it. Very superstitious. I think you'll really like it, Phil.
Oh, man. I'm telling you.
Phil, good God, you'd almost think you thought I was a bad singer.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just getting with it now. I want to sing out a song. Oh, shut up. Here we go. Yeah. Feel it now. Everybody out there, feel it. And let's kill Arafat. Oh, very superstitious. Writing's on the... Phil, go back.
What?
Go back. He got a hold of the phone.
What happened?
He got the phone. Very superstitious, that. Damn bastard.
Watch the language, okay? We're on the air.
I'm sorry. All right, here we go. Yeah. It's very with it, Phil.
Yeah, it's very with it.
Come on, everyone. $50 million will do the trick on Arafat. Oh, very superstitious. Oh, I love it. The ladder's about to fall. Excuse me. 13-month-old baby broke the looking glass. I don't understand. It doesn't rhyme. 7 years of bad luck. Jesus! The good things in your past. What's wrong with you? God, help me! Oh, when you believe in things that you don't understand, then you suffer. Stop! Very. Stop it!
Who is that?
It's Lloyd, Phil. Stop! You ass.
Hello? Hello? Okay, I don't know what happened there, but I lost the line. Lloyd apparently... Lloyd was apparently screaming bloody murder, and then that's the line went dead. It's funny how the music was emanating from our studio, but it ended too. Just everything just boom. Excuse me. 1-800-449-8686 is our number here on the Phil Henry Show. Well, listen, I got a couple of things that I wanted to sort of chit-chat with you about. As they say in the talk radio world, got a full plate tonight. All kinds of interesting things. Here's one that really made me angry. And you know what it was? It was the story of Bruce Willis's kid sending 12,000 boxes of Girl Scout cookies over to our boys in Operation Enduring Freedom. Well, ain't you just something else, Bruce Willis's kid? You little brat. My kid, she sells Girl Scout cookies, but I ain't got the change for 12,000 boxes. My kid goes door to door. She stands out in front of the old supermarket, and she makes her Girl Scout cookie that way, okay? That's how she gets her cookie dough. She ain't got Bruce Willis for a dad. You know, this is the deal, this Girl Scout cookie story. I don't know if any of you are into it, but let me tell you how it works. Every year, the kids get these Girl Scout cookies, the girls that are in the Brownies and the Girl Scouts. And then they come home and they say, Mom, Dad, would you buy some boxes? Yeah, okay, well, you know, we'll do what we can. Well, a lot of people, because they want to be big shots or because they don't want their kid to go out and actually hump the cookies, you know what I'm saying? Go out door to door like the Girl Scouts do. They just go ahead and they buy $200 worth, and then they send the kid off to the school with a $200 check. And in the meantime, there's some poor little kid standing out in front of a supermarket trying to sell cookies. Well, why should she be standing out in front of the supermarket to sell cookies, you ask? I'll tell you why. Because it teaches them a little bit of enterprise. Because it teaches them a little bit of how to get out and, you know, how to get out and push it. How to get out in this world and make a sale. But no, we got Bruce Willis giving his kid 12,000 boxes and the money and all of that stuff. Hey, you know, if you really wanted to donate a nice thing to the guys over in Operation Enduring Freedom and not prop yourself up with some big shot along with your little kid, just give it to him anonymously. Just send the money over there. Buy a bunch of cookies and send them over there, all right? All these kids that are standing out in front of supermarkets, going door to door and everything else. You know what? I got a little idea for the Girl Scouts. You might as well have them stop doing that. Just send your kids home. Mom and Dad will write a check for $8 billion. They'll buy all the cookies that have ever been made. Your kid will look like a real big shot, and then nobody has to worry about it. And then you won't ever see Girl Scouts standing out in front of the supermarket. And I know that's probably a pain in the ass because you don't like kids having to say, would you like to buy some cookies? Because then you got to look in the other direction because you don't want to be embarrassed by telling them no. And then they won't be bugging you at the front door. You cheap creep. So I get this thing every year from my daughter. She says, well, you know, if you want to buy some, and you know, so-and-so's mom, she bought $200 worth. Well, you know what? We're going to do what we did last year. We're only going to buy 3 boxes of cookies. Why? So-and-so's mom bought a bunch of, you know, I know so-and-so's mom did that because she wants her kid to look like a big shot. Just go home and have your mom spend $500 for the cookies. Ah, the whole thing sucks. I'm depressed. Screw it. The Middle East and now freaking the Girl Scout cookies. I quit. Instead of the Girl Scout cookies, why don't you buy a Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, huh? Hey, Bruce, why'd you get 12,000 of those and send them over to the guys Operation Enduring Freedom? Go to the Phil Henry website.
I'm sorry.